Scripture reading this evening is from Daniel, the second chapter, verses 19 through 21. Daniel 2, 19 through 21. It reads, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have understanding." That's Daniel, the second chapter, verses 19 through 21.
I found in my reading, and perhaps you found in your reading through the Scriptures, the subject of wisdom is found throughout. And as I was keeping track of some of those notes, I suddenly found myself having a huge collection of passages having to do with wisdom. And I thought it might make a good lesson for us tonight if we focus our attention on godly wisdom. It was a perfect lead-in lesson this morning that Chris brought us, because we learned that there's not just godly wisdom, but there's worldly wisdom as well, and we need to differentiate between the two. We need to focus our attention on godly wisdom. This particular passage, I want to call your attention to, "Let the name of God be blessed forever, for wisdom and power belong to him." This shows that God is the source of wisdom. The wisdom that we want comes from God. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. When wisdom comes to a man, that's where it comes from. It comes from God. Worldly wisdom comes from the world. Godly wisdom comes from God. That's the kind of wisdom that we need to be talking about here. I want to also talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's wisdom. We learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, "But the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And we see in this passage that Christ is actually called out as being the wisdom of God. We'll talk in just a few minutes about how the wisdom of God has been since the beginning, and that's how we also know that is Christ. We also notice that we're commanded to imitate God and Christ. We find in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Being an imitator of God means trying to be wise. God is the source of all wisdom. And if we're going to have godly wisdom, we need to imitate God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we read, "But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." We are to imitate Christ. In the same way that Christ walked the earth, we should walk the earth. The same things that he did, the same love that he expressed for mankind, we need to express that love and that wisdom. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter tells us, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Well, of course, the example that Jesus left for us was that of submission. And that's where we kind of cross over into Chris's lesson this morning. The submission that we have to the will of Christ, to the will of God, it's not only obedience, but it's suffering. It's the suffering that comes through obedience. The suffering that we have in our society is next to nothing compared to the suffering that our brethren had in the first century times and are having right now in some parts of the world, where your people are being beheaded just for naming the name of Christ. But we do need to practice what Christ practiced, and that is submission, and that is wisdom. We're commanded to be wise. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, we're commanded, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then, of course, in Colossians chapter 4, it's kind of a parallel passage, verses 5 and 6, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech also be seasoned with be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Part of practicing wisdom, part of recognizing the wisdom of God and practicing the wisdom of God in our lives, is to let our speech be seasoned with grace, so that we know how to respond when we're talking about our faith to others. And then, of course, in Psalm 90, that's a psalm of Moses. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. In this study of wisdom, I'm going to read several passages, and you're welcome to read along with me. These first passages are specific to the importance of wisdom in our lives. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Of course, we know that Ecclesiastes ends with the conclusion when all has been heard is this: fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Well, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. You can't even take your first step into being wise without a fear of the Lord. People that we consider wise on this earth, and believe me, there's a lot. If you go to the wisdom section of the library, you'll find a whole bunch of books that are filled with the wisdom of the world. But any of those writers who don't acknowledge the existence of God, they have no godly wisdom. They have nothing but worldly wisdom. We find in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I almost did the lesson tonight on the Holy One, because that's another series of passages that I've kind of booked into my word file at home. But the expression the Holy One is, there's 150 times or something like that in the Old and New Testament. And it's referencing Jehovah several times in the Old Testament, and many times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. We want to have the fear of the Lord. That's the first step in wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this: acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. That's Proverbs 4, verse 7. This next passage I'm just going to read out loud, and you're welcome to join me if you have a Bible in front of you. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, I'll read through the entire chapter. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None go to her to return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good man, and keep the paths of right of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the verses that I believe Chris referenced this morning. We read, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And if you look carefully at this verse, you'll find it's really a call for action. The first action is to put your nose in the book. Paul tells Timothy that since his childhood, he's known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Wisdom leads to salvation. And how do you acquire wisdom? Go to the sacred writings. The sacred writings will give you the wisdom. The wisdom leads to the salvation, leads to the knowledge of how you get the salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, we find in the tail end of that verse, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's for all of us. We can all go to the Scriptures and learn how we should live, how we should exercise, and that is wisdom. Job 28, verses 12 through 28. Some scholars have said Job is the oldest book in the Bible. I'm not sure if that's true, but I've read that before too. Good possibility. Very old book. We read in beginning in verse 12 of chapter 28 of Job, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not in me.' Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and Death say, 'With our ears we have heard a report of it.' God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, 'Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.'" And of course, the main point here is on that bottom line. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. "If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as 'Do not handle,' 'Do not taste,' 'Do not touch,' which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." I wanted to include this one because this, again, goes back to that wisdom of the world. This goes back to there is something that appears to be wisdom that is not. And that is the wisdom of the world and the commandments and the teachings of men. Over in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, 17 and 18, says, "And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I realize that this is also striving after wind, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and in increasing knowledge, results in increasing pain." Colossians 3, 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." We find out that in the practice of our wisdom, we're going to be teaching and we're going to be admonishing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're going to be singing thankfulness in our hearts to God, and we're also going to be doing everything that we do in word and deed by the name of Jesus Christ. That is wisdom. I want to read another psalm, or another proverb, Proverbs chapter 8, if you'd like to read with me. Proverbs chapter 8 is what we call the personification of wisdom. "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. Proverbs chapter 8. In Ecclesiastes again, chapter 2, verse 13, and I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. In chapter 7, verse 12, for wisdom is protection just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. And then in chapter 9, verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Back over to Proverbs chapter 3. I know the font is, I don't know if it's big enough to see back there in the back, but I'll go ahead and read Proverbs 3, 13 through 24. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they will be a life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. In Jeremiah speaks of wisdom. Thus says the Lord in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. We find that hand in hand with wisdom is humility. People who claim to be wise are not practicing humility, therefore they're not wise. People who claim to be wise are not wise. We find in Jeremiah 10:12, "It is he who made the earth by its power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens." Again to Proverbs chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation." Jumping over the New Testament, in James chapter 3, we read, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The key to understanding this passage is back at the beginning when he says, "Let him show by his good behavior the deeds, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." We show our wisdom by our deeds. We show our wisdom by our deeds of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. In fact, the next few are going to all be from Proverbs. I'll just read down through them, and you can join me if you want. They're in order. Proverbs 10:31: "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out." In 11:2: "When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom." And we find in Proverbs 13:10: "Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel." Proverbs 14:6: "A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding." In Proverbs 14:8: "The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit." In 14:33: "Wisdom rests in the heart of the one who has understanding, but in the hearts of fools it is made known." In 15:33: "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." In 16:16: "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver." In 17:24: "Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." 18:1: "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." 18, verse 4, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." 19:8, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." 23, verse 9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." That's 23:23. "By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established." Proverbs 24:3. And 24:7, "Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate." And 24:14, "Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." In 29, verse 3, "A man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth." Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 29:15. And Proverbs 31:26, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Of course, that's talking about the worthy woman in Proverbs 31. I wanted to finish up our study with a couple of verses on how to acquire wisdom. The Scriptures are not silent on how to acquire wisdom. We read this once before, but I wanted to emphasize it again. that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then back over to James, we find James says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. I want to point out these last two verses because it's really a practical application of Christianity. We communicate to God when we pray, and we receive communication from God when we study. And if there is no communication, there can be no wisdom, because all wisdom comes from God. So you've got to be communicating with God if you're going to get any wisdom. And that comes from searching the Scriptures, spending some time with your nose in the book, and praying. And this verse tells you you're not going to get it unless you ask for it. But he also clarifies and says you can't ask for it with the wrong motives. We need to be asking God for wisdom, and we need to be going to his book to find it. And he'll give it to us. And we can walk in wisdom through our lives. Don't want to finish a lesson here without offering the Lord's invitation. We learn in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, that we must hear the word in order to be saved. We must believe. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. We must repent of our sins. Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts 2, 38, of course, Peter preaching to those who had crucified the Lord, said, you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must confess his name before men. In Romans 10, verse 10, we read that. And we must be baptized, what I just read in Acts 2:38. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we must remain faithful until death. Jesus told us in Revelation 2:10 that we're until death he'll give us a crown of life. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, you need to be baptized into the body of Christ. This is a perfect opportunity for you to do that. If you've already done that and you've fallen away or you've stepped out of the faith and you need the prayers of your brethren, now's a good time to come forward as we stand and as we sing.